Hey there, guys. Welcome back to Accelerated Real Estate Investor with Josh Cantwell. I'm so excited to be back with you. This is my first podcast interview that I've done in really the last couple of weeks. We just took about 3 weeks off, went down to Florida. My daughter had an AAU volleyball tournament down in Orlando, which was fantastic. They had a great turnout. They had a great, great finish to their season. Spent another week or so at the beach and just got back. And so today I have a special guest on the podcast. His name is Whitney Soul. I was on Whitney's podcast about 6 months ago. Whitney has a great show called The Real Estate Syndication Show. You definitely need to check it out. Whitney is a seasoned real estate investor, podcast host, and philanthropist, and founder of Life Bridge Capital. They've acquired roughly 1,000 doors of multifamily and about $150 million in assets under management. He's also interviewed over 1,000 experts for his show, The Real Estate Syndication Show. I was one of those 1,000 experts. And in this interview, we're going to talk about how Whitney was able to scale his business at a groundbreaking pace. He really started with nothing back in 2017. And just 4 years was able to scale to over 1,000 doors. And he is able to consistently raise over $10 million of new capital in just a few hours through his investor relationships. Pretty amazing. His wife and he are also on a mission to help families through the process of adoption. They have personally endured the financial burdens that a lot of the other families have go through the adoption process. And they've committed 50% of their profits to helping other people get through the adoption process and adopting more children. I think it's fantastic. Also in this interview, you're going to hear, number one, how Whitney has pivoted from a one-off deal structure to a fund structure and the benefits of investing in multifamily and apartments through a fund structure. Number two, we're going to talk about Whitney's superpower and how you cannot be everything to everybody in multifamily, how you need to focus on having your superpower and actually go as fast as you can, as hard as you can with your one superpower. Number three, we're going to talk about how Whitney networked his way to 1,000 doors. He gets his investors through network. He gets his deals through his network. He meets brokers through his network. He focused his entire business on conferences and networking to get to 1,000 doors. And number four, we're also going to talk about how and why Whitney left everything behind to pursue his multifamily and apartment dreams. You're going to love this interview on Accelerated Real Estate Investor with me and Whitney Soul from Life Bridge Capital. Here we go.
Welcome to the Accelerated Investor Podcast with Josh Cantwell. If you're looking to retire early with forever passive income, you're in the right place. This podcast is the go-to destination for real estate investors, both active and passive, and multifamily apartment investors, both new, intermediate, and advanced. Now, sit back, listen, learn, and accelerate your business, your life, and your investing with the Accelerated Investor Podcast.
So, hey, Whitney, thanks so much for jumping on Accelerated Real Estate Investor. I'm so excited to have you on. Been looking forward to this since you had me on your show a couple months back. I'm glad we were able to finally coordinate this. How are you?
I am excellent. Pleasure to be on your show, Josh. Pleasure to connect again as well.
Absolutely. So LifeBridge Capital, I see all your stuff all over social media. I know you've got an amazing Facebook group. You guys have over 1,000 doors, but I'm always curious, what does somebody have kind of going on in their life today, like literally this afternoon or next week, something that they're working on right now that they're super passionate for? So what's kind of on your workbench right now that you're excited about?
Yeah, so there's numerous things that we are excited about right now. I would say on the business front, we're fixing to launch a fund. We're very excited about getting that rolling. I was just in Denver or in Colorado last week doing due diligence on the first project in that fund. Lots of great things happening there. But on the nonprofit side, we're partnering with like four more families as far as helping them with adoption and, you know, with the expense of bringing their children home. So we're very excited about that.
That is fantastic stuff. We'll definitely have to talk about the mission of helping families through adoption. I've got a good friend of mine, actually my college roommate, who has been a foster parent to about 40 kids and has adopted two of them.
That's cool.
And I don't know how he does it. So I definitely would like to hear more about that. So tell me a little bit more about your fund, Whitney. I know you guys have a bunch of doors. You guys done a lot of one-off sort of structure. Now the fund. So help me understand the fund structure. What's it going to look like? And why are you standing that up as opposed to continuing to do one-off type deals?
Yeah, great question. And so it's really a matter of being more... I'm more strategic in a few different ways, but one, the multiple asset strategy versus a single asset strategy, there's just a lot of pros there, right? You know, for our investors, I know some people say, I don't get to see the deals and things like that. And sometimes that's an issue with some investors, but for the most part, they're already investing with you because they trust you, in a big way anyway. And thankfully, we're just doing due diligence on the first project, maybe even have another, but right about when we launch. So they'll actually know the first one or two projects, which would be nice. But having a fund will allow us to just be more competitive, right? We make offers, we can show a balance sheet, 30, 50 million, whatever, and that says a lot to a seller. Even if a broker knows, hey, you've raised the money like within a few hours, time and time again, it's still so nice to be able to show a balance sheet so that seller knows you are serious and, hey, you can close. And so it streamlines that process in a big way.
Help our audience understand, Whitney, when you say a multi-asset fund, I know you've done a lot of multifamily, a lot of apartment buildings, but we say multi-asset fund. Help our audience understand what does that mean?
Yeah.
And again, why? Risk diversification, things like that.
For sure. No, great question.
Help our audience understand what, why, and a little bit more about some of the other types of assets you're going to add to that fund.
Yeah. So there'll be different types of assets, but something like a fund like this, some people say a blind fund, like I said, because you don't know what's in there. This one, they will know. But what it does, it gives you, say, geographical diversification. So we may have properties in Colorado. We may have properties in Idaho, maybe even other markets that are inside this fund. But it also gives you cash flow diversification. So let's say there's, five properties in a fund. Well, there may be one property that's barely hitting projections or even missing projections to some extent, but you may have two properties that are hitting projections and two that are way ahead, right? Mm-hmm. And so, if an investor is investing in that one project, let's say they're struggling a little bit, they may see a dip in their cash flow, right? Thankfully, that we haven't had that issue yet, but I mean, still, it happens. Things are unexpected all the time at these properties. Anybody that's been in real estate for very long knows that. But being in a fund where, let's say I invested $200,000 in a fund, well, now I own a little bit of all five of those properties, right? Yeah. And so I'm receiving cash flow from all five of those properties instead of just one, one project. So they're not only diversified, geographically, but they're also diversified through cash flow as well.
That's fantastic. So open-ended or closed-ended fund?
It'd be closed-ended. Yeah, it'd be open for a certain time frame, or it will go to a certain amount and we'll close it. We'll shut it off.
Yeah, there you go. I like that. I like the idea of standing up the fund and then having the first few deals kind of ready to syndicate, because investors, like you said, like they kind of want to know and feel and touch that first couple of deals. We've stood up different funds. We've done one off and they're like, okay, well, tell me about the first thing that's going to be in there. And then after that, then I'll go blind. I don't really care what else you buy as long as it's doing well with the first couple that are going to go in. So you mentioned Colorado, Idaho. Are those your markets, or are those the markets that you're looking for just this particular asset?
We're already very established in those markets. All of our units are actually in those two markets.
Got it. Love it. Love it. So are you going to do anything other than multifamily in the fund? Are you going to do any kind of self-storage or any kind of mobile home parks or things like that?
So not in this fund. We do see adding some other asset classes in the future. This fund will be strictly multifamily. However, there will be some value add and some development, most likely. We have two projects under development at the moment or as we speak. And so there's a good chance we'll add a development deal to the fund as well.
Got it. Love it. So help me understand what you're seeing in the market now. Like, we're in the greater Cleveland area. We invest in the Midwest. We've got projects in the South and Southeast, Houston and Oklahoma and outside of Atlanta. We don't do anything up in where you're at. But I'm interested to see what your take is on the market today. There's a lot of just kind of talk. I think a lot of it is purely speculation, purely talk about what's going on. Nobody really knows based off. But one thing I'm seeing, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on it, is last year was kind of a pencils down year for a lot of people. There was not a lot of deals that traded. I think the total number of deals that traded was down 81% from the previous year. Now there's the threat of what are people calling the Biden tax increases next year, getting rid of the 1031 exchange, the step up in basis, possibly, you know, increasing the capital gains taxes. So all of a sudden, I don't know if you're seeing this, but I'm seeing a tremendous amount of sellers that are probably weren't going to sell for 3, 5, 7 years from now that are all of a sudden selling now. So we've seen a new 480 unit, a new 250 unit, a new 360 unit, all these deals. I don't think they'd be anywhere near on the market today, but now the broker's like, I got this one. I got this one. I got this one. I'm like, slow down. Like, we can't underwrite all these as fast as we want to. Are you seeing the same kind of thing? Do you think, because I'm predicting this is going to be a historic year for multifamily as far as the number of trades. I'm curious to hear your thoughts.
I do not doubt that. We have seen some very similar things. I mean, specifically, we are in, most of our units are in Colorado Springs, Colorado. We're buying another one in a few other markets in Colorado, and then also in Boise, of course. But in the Springs, Colorado Springs alone, there's a 3.82 market vacancy. I mean, just so low, right? Wow. And a 15% market-wide rent growth. I mean, it's just, it's just explosion. I mean, it's just madness, right? So, I mean, and I'll give you a property to think about. Like, we purchased a project there a year ago, March. We received an offer now, that will more than double our investors' returns. That fast. We even have a project in Boise we bought last August that's hitting our third year projections easy. And it's been 100% occupied since it was built. There is more demand there than we can fathom at the moment. And that's why we're developing some projects there as well. I mean, it is just, I think in like January, they said there were like 11 vacant units in the entire market in Boise. Wow. Things like that are happening. In some instances, that's a little scary, right? That it's like that. However, obviously it depends on if you're a seller or buyer, but things that we're going to be thinking about. And you touched on some of them, Josh, is maybe we've changed our strategy a little bit. Instead of always saying, it's going to be a 5-year hold, we're going to say, it may be a 5-year hold, but if we need to hold it 10 years, we need to be prepared to be able to do that. And so that's changed recently because of the Biden tax, things that he's putting out. We don't know that we're going to have the 1031. We don't know, what that's going to be, or even capital gains, right? We don't know what the capital gains are going to be. And we may get to that point, say 4 years from now, and it's time to sell and think, we just should keep it in cash flow, right?
Yeah.
And also more and more of our investors are reaching out and saying, Whitney, why would we sell? Why don't we just keep cash flowing? And so we want to create some strategy, around having options at least to be able to do that, right? Yeah. Not saying we won't sell if we can double investors' money in 18 months. That's definitely something to consider in a big way, but we want the options to be able to hold long-term. And again, it's about how you buy, like that project I was just telling you about. It's a Class A project already hitting our third year projections and, nice. In less than a year. And so that there's a lot of room there. We could come down in a big way and still hit our projections, right, in rent. And that property also had like a 47 to 51% break-even occupancy. I mean, it's still about how you buy, right? We're at Class A projects haven't typically been our bread and butter, but that one was such a good deal. We're like, okay, this makes a ton of sense. And it's been almost our best project.
Are you ready to automate and explode your real estate investing? We're searching for extremely motivated individuals who are sick and tired of wasting time and want to finally see real results from their real estate investing business. We're searching for investors looking to get to the next level and become a bigger, better version of themselves while being a more successful real estate investing entrepreneur. Apply for mentoring and coaching at joshcantwellcoaching.com/podcast. That's joshcantwellcoaching.com/podcast.
Yeah, love it, love it, love it. I think there's definitely room in today's market. There's, obviously a lot of competition, and the best operators are people, and the best investors are people who realize, like, I can't necessarily be a one-trick pony. I can't just do value add. I can't just do cash flow. I can't just do development. I think maybe 3 to 4 years ago, you could kind of pick a strategy and just do that because there wasn't so much competition. So just talk to that for a minute. Like, talk to your our audience a little bit about why it's important to kind of look at multiple different ways to invest in multifamily. What are some of the benefits of a value add deal versus a cash flow deal versus development? Why are you doing a little bit of everything versus, I know a couple of years ago it was a little bit more laser focused on, hey, let's just find value add stuff that we could bump rent and then hold it, maybe sell it. That strategy has changed a lot because a lot of guys are getting beat out. Their offers are getting beat out. The market's hot. So you got to be flexible.
So there's a few reasons around that. And one, to offer more opportunities for our investors, right? Some want more growth opportunities, some want cash flow right now. And we can do that by even just those two asset classes, right? Or even both multifamily, by providing some development opportunities. There may be more room for more growth, you know, over the next few years. However, there's no cash flow the first potentially 18 months, maybe even longer, depending on the type of deal and things you run into, you know, during a development deal. But where these value add deals are going to start cash flowing pretty quickly, most of those are going to be stabilized from day one and cash flowing, you know, right off the bat or pretty quick. And so, you know, that allows our investors to have different options, especially if it's in a fund, right? But even if it's one-off syndication or one-off single asset funds, they have different options. Another thing to think about is how our team has grown. And so we've, you know, it's not that I have become an expert developer, and I do not claim to be one, right? But however, we find an expert developer, somebody that's in that market and somebody that can become part of our team, right? And so that's how, you know what, we've got a lot of skill sets and a lot of abilities that he does not. However, he's been developing in this market for 20 years or longer and mm-hmm. extremely experienced, but he does not have the capital. He does not have that ability that we do, you know, or just the investor base. And so it allows us to do some pretty cool things together, but it's finding that talent, right? It's finding that individual who is, man, they're the best at what they do in that market.
Yeah. I've heard you say a couple of times, and I'd love to hear your take on this, is I think at the beginning, when we first start buying multifamily and apartments, it's about like, oh man, can I find the investors to fund the deal? Right. Then you get to the point kind of like where you're at, where we're at, where it's like, I've got to find more deal flow for my investors.
Yes.
Right. My investors have this appetite. I've heard you say several times, my investors want this, or some investors want cash flow. So you're kind of building your model around what the investors want. Because now you know you can find the deal, you can get it funded with your first mortgage. Maybe it's construction loan, bridge loan, permanent loan, whatever. But once you have that kind of limited partner pool built, now those people have an appetite. You do a couple of successful deals. They're like, hey, Whitney, what do you have next? What's coming up? Tell me about your pipeline. And you're like, okay, I've got to continue to build for them, right? So you probably experienced the same thing. You're shaking your head. Yeah, you've experienced the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about that kind of evolution of your business a little bit, and how now, like you said, you're kind of building a business around your employees, but also around those limited partner investors.
Yeah. So, you know, initially, you know, my first syndication, Josh, I raised $250,000, and I think it took me weeks, right?
Yeah.
And I had been networking as hard as I could go for months, you know, every conference. I mean, none of that came from friends and family. I didn't have any wealthy friends or family that could have invested, but just hard as I could go at conferences, you know, and I thought, oh, you know, I was excited, right? $250,000. And, but, you know, obviously that wouldn't get us very far now, but, you know, in a pretty short period of time, I mean, we doubled that, I think, the next capital raise, and then it's doubled, you know, numerous times now. But it's just amazing to see, you know, now we've consistently raised like more than $10 million in just a few hours. It's a blessing. It's a real blessing. It didn't come easy, but it is. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. It's like having those conversations with all these investors, really thinking through what are they looking for? You know, which ones are looking for cash flow? Which ones are willing to just wanting that growth long term? And then it's receiving, I mean, being in communication, right? Continually educating them, but then also listening to feedback. All right. Many of them, like I said, say, well, Whitney, why don't we hold this project in cash flow? Well, in that project, we may not be able to, because we've already told the investors, hey, this is the plan, and we want to stick to that as much as we can, you know, I mean, as much as possible, you know, what we've set their expectations to be. But in the future, we want to provide more options, right? You know, as we learn more about the investors' needs.
Love it. Love it. Now, Whitney, you got started not that long ago, 2017. I mean, this is just 4 or 5 years ago. I'm curious to hear about your start. And anytime I talk to somebody that I have, whether it's on a coaching call or on this podcast, I love to hear about how they got going and some of the early challenges that they faced. So tell me a little bit about your start. And you know, I heard about the first $250,000 syndication. I love that story. Tell me about some other challenges and how you got going.
Yeah. And I'll go back a little further and feel free to ask me about anything, any part of it. But I even go back to March, Josh, of 2001. And I say March because obviously it was 6 months later that our nation was attacked. Right. Sure. But in March is when I joined the military. I had no idea that in just a few years, in a very short period of time, I would be spending a year in Iraq. Right. And I'd be toting around a machine gun, praying every day I get to go home. Wow. Unfortunately, not everyone in my squad made it home. Obviously a lot of lessons learned, you know, overseas, sure, in Iraq, in situations like that. Thankfully, I did make it home. The Lord was very gracious to protect me, you know, while I was there. But one thing the military taught me was to have that never give up mentality. I mean, there's not much you face in a real estate business that can be worse than where we were at, you know, over there.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it helps put things in perspective a little bit, right?
And not Whitney, that you're going to have a bad day. I'm going to tell you this one quick 30-second story. So I have a former employee of mine, Tim, is a friend of mine. He had a screensaver of him walking with all of his gear, was in the military, walking through the streets of Fallujah with all of his gear on, with his platoon, and literally looked like just third world. Every time I walked past his computer, I just thought to myself, like, my God, first of all, like, what a crazy thing to see. And also just the fact that he put himself there for our freedom was amazing to me. So thank you. Thank guys like Tim. But I mean, wild. If you've never seen some pictures of guys in actual duty in a war zone, it's wow, blow your mind. So I just wanted to say that. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that. I appreciate that. It is a great reminder for myself as well. But I came home and quickly tried to figure out what I was going to do. I got hired with Kentucky State Police. Policing seemed like a great transition. I love the uniform, the structure, the discipline, the service. But I worked for Kentucky State Police a couple of years and figured out that I got married about a year in and found out, you know what, my wife and I just passed each other in the hallway the first whole year of marriage and that this is just not what's best.
Yeah,
so that was 2009. And that's where I learned about real estate. It's like, okay, somehow I was trying to supplement our income. And I found out that like millions of people have built wealth in real estate. And I thought, okay, if all of them can do it, then I can do something. Right. I can at least supplement our income a little bit. And so we bought two triplexes. We made a ton of mistakes. We learned a lot the hard way. I was self-managing the worst schedule, you know, as a police officer, newly married. We were remodeling a house while we were living in it all at the same time. My poor wife was doing dishes in the bathtub. I mean, it was horrible, right? It seemed horrible. But you know what? We're stronger because of it. Finally, I became a federal agent, which helped my income and benefits and all those things that everybody wants in a W-2. Position, right? But still, I kept pushing the real estate business. Believe it or not, I was a professional horse trainer at the same time. It was just a passion of mine since I was a little boy. But Josh, we finally had the farm we'd always dreamed of. I was training horses at a very high level, to say at least. I was building a brand similar to what I've done now in real estate, but not hardly to this scale. But I was doing clinics all over the country, selling horses for more money than I ever imagined. I still had a 15-unit rental at this time. And there was a moment, there was a time where my wife and I were at the beach and we were walking and we were just really reflecting on what our life was like, where we planned to be 3 years from now, 5 years from now. And it was just obvious to us that it was not possible for me to keep it up. I mean, like more than two full-time jobs, it wasn't worth it either. And so we knew that there had to be a big change. Ultimately, we came home. We decided to sell the farm, sell everything. And so we started our third adoption process at the same time. But we did. We sold the farm. We moved into a small house in town. And that's when I started the commercial real estate business as opposed to small multifamily, because I knew that's where we were going to build wealth. I knew that's where we were going to help the most people and build more passive income. And that's where the challenges really began, Josh. I mean, the criticism from people thinking we were crazy for selling our farm, right? You know, and thinking that I have just an amazing W-2 position, you know, like, what are you thinking? You know, but immediately, you know, it was like I was all of a sudden working more than two full-time jobs again, but we had a mission and we had something driving us, my wife and I both, because I would miss every meal with the family. My boys, unfortunately, knew they wouldn't see me till Sunday, even though I was living in the house. I mean, it was just kind of ridiculous. However, it was what it took for a couple of years. And while my wife did everything in the home, you know, while we're doing deals and doing a daily podcast and you know, working full time and going to conferences a couple times a month, it was madness. But man, we're so thankful. Obviously, now we did.
That is fantastic stuff. So, The breakthrough happens when? help me understand that deal, that first commercial deal, or that maybe the second, third deal, whatever it was, where you thought this decision to sell the farm, this decision to walk away from the W-2, now I feel like we've made the, because at first you're probably scared out of your mind. What are we doing? This is really going to work. You're super passionate, excited for it, but scared at the same time. All of a sudden it hits you. You're like, we made the right decision. We're going down this road. We're able to kind of chase our passions, adoption, these other things that you're excited for. And the business side, the financial side is starting to work. When does that happen for you?
It was a few deals in, to say the least,
yeah, sure.
Right? You know, a few commercial deals. I mean, you know, when we sold the farm, I had not done I'd done the 15 unit, but I had not syndicated anything. And about the same time I hired a mentor, you know, somebody that had been there, right? Could go before me, had been before me, and I could ask questions of and things like that. So crucial, you know, to that entire process. But we just knew commercial real estate. Like I had to give myself I had to burn the bridges, right? I couldn't give myself any means of turning back. And that's what we did. I knew if we stayed on the farm, that would be my desire. Like, you know, I would still want to be riding horses and training for other people, all those things. And I wouldn't be able to be as committed as I needed to be. But then it was 2 years later where we were finally to the point where we sold the farm, and it was 2 years getting the commercial business going where I was still working full time. And before we said, okay, you know what? We can raise a lot of money now consistently. We've done deals. We have more consistent deal flow. You know, mm-hmm. I think we had done a few commercial projects to this point, but I can figure it out, but a few deals, but we also had another one or two under contract. And so it's like, okay, it's now or never. You know, I cannot keep working more than two full-time jobs forever. I'm missing too much at home. It's like, it's either going to work now or it's just not worth it.
Yeah,
you know, this point.
Love it. Love it. So now, Whitney, that you've had the success and you've chased your dreams, you're still building, obviously, you're still doing deals. You're definitely not at the end by any means, but you've had this sense of like, you got 1,000 doors, you got $150 million under management. You're able to raise tens of millions of dollars in a very short amount of time. A lot of people would look at that and say, wow, what a great amount of success. I know you're not done, but there's a lot of people that look at where you're at and say, oh my God, if I could just get to where he's at, that would be amazing. What kind of advice would you give to them? What kind of advice would you give your younger former self about your journey? What did you do right? What would you do differently? What kind of advice would you pass along?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I would say you have to think big, right? I earlier on for many, many years, all I could see was that next single family or duplex, or, you know, I looked at those big apartment buildings and thought, oh, maybe that'd be me 30 years from now, right? I don't know who those guys are.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just didn't see it. I couldn't believe it, right? When I started going to conferences, I started meeting guys that were buying 100 unit complexes, only been in the business a year. So I'm like, okay, hey, if they can do it, I can figure this out too.
Let's go.
Right? I'll make this happen. But one thing is, don't get overwhelmed, right? Don't get overwhelmed. You have to start building your team of experts. You do not have to do or be an expert of every part of this business. It's just not going to happen that way. It is not going to happen. So ultimately, be an expert in one part of it and be as good at that as you can possibly be. And then start building your team of experts around the other cogs in that wheel that you need, right, to make it turn. You know, think about those roles and what really energizes you. And man, if it's underwriting, like, be the best at that you possibly can be, and mm-hmm. find the other people to attach to your team or add on to your team. I mean, that's ultimately what I did, right? I mean, that's what I did. And now we're continuing to build a team of experts, you know, so don't get overwhelmed and just do nothing, right? Look at the next step, figure out where you want to go personally. You got to see a bigger picture. So you're motivated and you have that vision, all those things. But look at the next step and focus right there, right? And knock that out. And then you're going to get motivated. You're going to see some success, at least some improvement, right? And then figure out the next step, you know, and just keep going. And before you know it, 6 months from now, man, you've come a long way.
I love it. I love it. I'm curious, Whitney, for you, what do you think your main role is? What's your superpower within that wheel, that cog in the wheel, right? The one part that you're good at? That's question number one. Number two, how are you able to find and locate the other experts, right? That's probably what people will be saying, especially if they haven't done a big deal yet, like you and I have, is, you know, how do I find my superpower? How do I understand what I'm best at? And then how do I bring other people along, the other experts, to do it? Because like in my business, I'm really good at marketing and raising money, and I don't know a whole lot about commercial construction. So I had to bring in a CapEx guy, right? A VP of construction that I could really trust, that really knew that part of the business. So what is your superpower and how do you find the others?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, one of my superpowers is almost being willing to just work harder than anybody else.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be like this, like, you know, specific thing, but what that turned into, Josh, was really the marketing ability, was being able to speak to people, being able to network as hard as I could go. And you know, building processes then became my superpower. It's like, I can talk to people. I got to thinking one day, Josh, I was talking to my mentor and I'm like, a podcast? I don't know if I can interview people. And finally, you know, now we've done over 1,000. But in the beginning, at that point, when I was like hesitant, right, he was like, you've been a police officer for how many years and a federal agent? Like, you've been interviewing people for years and years. And I'm like, that makes so much sense, right? It's right. A little different context, but still,
sure.
You know, you have been. But being able to speak to people, being able to build relationships quickly, but then the processes, like being process-oriented has been just crucial and growing fast. And then you ask about like the team members. Yes, you know, learning quickly that, hey, I'm just going to hunker down right here and go as hard as I can go, you know, and then I'm going to notice and I'm going to pay attention to key people who are experts in their field. And then we're going to partner ultimately. Mm-hmm. And so I did, you know, I was very hesitant. I don't partner with just anyone. And it's a big story how we did this, but my business partner and I met and I could see qualities in him that were complementary to my skill sets, right? Mm-hmm. I could see that he was a go-getter. He had lots of just skills that I didn't have and I had lots that he didn't have. And so very complementary. However, we had many of the same values, many of the same things that we cared about, whether it's our faith and our family, you know, those things that are very core to who we are. But then, man, in business, we were very opposite, but both very just kind of go get it mentality. He was one of the first ones, but now we've added some specific team members who are just experts in their field, whether it's like an amazing assistant to the asset manager who used to manage 11,000 units. You know, I mean, like he's way ahead of, you know, where we are. So it's finding people like that.
In my newest real estate investing book, The Flip System, you'll learn the proven secrets and strategies that I've used to be a successful real estate investor. You'll also hear the story of my journey from quitting my job to doing over 2,000 units of apartments. The Flip System is now available for a limited time, and you can grab your free copy at getflipsystem.com/podcast. You'll learn the same proven principles and secrets and investing strategies that I used to quit my job and pursue a life of financial freedom. In this book, I'm sharing exactly how I was able to personally close over 750 profitable real estate deals, make over 400 private lender loans, raise over $30 million, and acquire over 2,000 units of cash flowing apartments. Get my newest book now for free at getflipsystem.com/podcast. That's getflipsystem.com/podcast.
Oh, I love it. Fantastic advice, Whitney. I love it. Let's finish up here with our final five. You ready for these?
Let's do it.
All right. So final five. Question number one is, what's your favorite way to find deals?
Ours have been through brokers. It's the relationships. Absolutely. It is the relationships.
Favorite place and way to find money or different ways to fill up your capital stack?
Building relationships. It's a building, and I say this, everybody talks about the know, like, and trust. And I say there's one thing that's missing, and it's loyalty. You learn how to build loyalty, you will not have a problem raising money.
Yeah, I love it. I think communication, too, is so important with an investor.
Yes, for sure.
Especially at the beginning when there's a lot of moving parts in a new acquisition, you take a deal over, CapEx, or whatever you're going to do, whatever your business plan is, keeping them, whether it's good, bad, or ugly, just keeping them updated on what's going on. So, so critical. Next question, Whitney, what is your maybe favorite book that you've ever read or favorite piece of advice that you've ever been given?
Wow. The Bible would be my top book. I just think you can learn almost anything you need to know in there one way or the other. You know, outside of that, I don't know about my top, that this would be my top, but I'll tell you a book I read recently that was really good is The Road Less Stupid by Keith Cunningham. I've got it right here. Actually, I'll show it to you quickly. Great book, great business guy, highly recommend. And then if you want to get motivated, The Power of Self-Discipline by Brian Tracy, No Excuses.
I love that. I love Brian Tracy. I love the No Excuses book. I've read that a few times. It's fantastic. Whitney, what is your favorite place or way to decompress and to kind of think and get outside your business? But to me, the best operators, the best CEOs, they operate outside their business and slightly above it. And they spend a lot of time thinking, what's your best way and place to do that?
You know, that doesn't happen in the beginning when you're a new entrepreneur, typically.
Yeah. Just hustle, man. Just go.
But more so lately, it has been going to the beach. And my wife and I, it is like time for us to decompress. We're away from the house. You know, we just walk together, pray together and separate. And it's just been really good for us. We've been there, you know, numerous times this year, especially after leaving the W-2 position and, you know, things like that, like where we can have more time. And it's allowed me, as our team has scaled, like we talked about, it's allowed me to be, you know, higher on the business, right? You know, like, you know, so I'm not so much in the business, but working on the business more.
Yeah.
And that's a place to decompress and us to really just clear our minds and think about things like 3 years from now, like we did in the beginning.
Yeah, that's great. I tell people, listen, the business of business, like the way we run business, is all about the people. The business of business is people. So we've got to invest in people. And as a CEO, got to spend more time helping people understand process, coaching them up. Being a CEO is really no different than me coaching like my seventh grade volleyball team. Like I've got to coach them. Got to coach people. You grow people, you grow a great business. It's all about the people. Last and final question, Whitney, which is, look, with all the success that you've had, you've probably had amazing mentors in your life. Who do you think has been the mentor that's had the biggest impact and why?
You know, when I was looking for a mentor, I mean, there's so many people in my life that have had, I mean, they've been like fathers to me, you know, as growing up numerous have different points in my life. It's just amazing to look back and think how they've kind of taken me under their wing, even as a teenager to, you know, coming back from Iraq and different times when the Lord provided different men. But in the commercial real estate business, I was looking for someone who was, who I could speak to personally, right? And who was in the business now and who I felt like really cared about my success. And at that time, it was Joe Fairless. And so, I think the world of Joe. We've worked together for 3 or 4 years now. I mean, we're great friends now, and we work together on deals, different things. But in the beginning, obviously, he was way ahead of me, and now it's more like a mastermind when we're talking, you know. But it's great, you know. He has provided tons of great guidance, and it's those times where I was like, should I do this? You know, it's just great to have somebody there that's like on the outside looking in that had been there to say, well, yes, of course you should do this. You know, I'm like, okay, yes. You know, I should, like, and it seems so simple, right, to him or to somebody else. But he's probably one of the key people, you know, through my commercial real estate journey who has helped me the most.
That's fantastic stuff. So Whitney, I know our audience can catch up with you at lifebridgecapital.com. Any other place that you'd like them to connect with you online, maybe register on your site to be an investor or partner with you on a deal. Where can they learn more about you?
Yeah, you can register online, lifebridgecapital.com. You can email me, Whitney@lifebridgecapital.com, or you can call or text me at 540-585-4338. Would love to connect, obviously on all social media as well, but call or text me.
Fantastic stuff. Whitney, listen, it's been a great interview. I love your energy. Thank you so much for joining me today on Accelerated Real Estate Investor.
Thank you, Josh.
Well, hey, I hope you really enjoyed that interview on Accelerated Real Estate Investor with Whitney Soul. Had a great time. I love his energy. I love his thought process around the fund. And I cannot believe that, like a lot of people who are successful, he had, you know, kind of his life figured out to the point where he realized he didn't have it figured out, sold the farm, left it all behind to pursue his multifamily dreams. If you enjoyed this interview, please hit the like and subscribe buttons anywhere you find this interview, all over social media, YouTube, Facebook, and iTunes. And make sure you leave us a rating and review. Don't forget to hit the like and subscribe button so you never miss another episode of Accelerated Real Estate Investor. Thanks so much for joining me today, and we'll see you next time. Take care.
Hey, Josh here. And do you want to win a free Accelerated Investor t-shirt? All you have to do is give Accelerated Investor, our podcast, Accelerated Investor, a rating and a review on iTunes, okay? Do that now. Then send us a screenshot on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. What we're gonna do then is every week we're gonna pick our favorite rating and review, and we're gonna send that person a free t-shirt and maybe again some other cool fun stuff as well from Accelerated Investor. So again, don't forget to take a screenshot, leave a rating, review, take a screenshot, send it to us so we know exactly who you are. And then once a week, every week on the podcast, we will announce a new winner. Don't forget to take a screenshot and send it to us so we know exactly who you are. We'll announce a new winner every week.
You were just listening to the Accelerated Investor Podcast with Josh Cantwell. If you enjoyed this episode and learned something new, help us build the AI community by leaving a review and 5-star rating on our iTunes podcast channel. Also, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss another episode. To see passive investing opportunities, visit freelandventures.com/passive. To start your journey toward the lifestyle you've always dreamed of with multifamily apartments, apply for one-on-one coaching with Josh at www.joshcantwellcoaching.com.